Go.
Welcome, everybody, to the debrief.
Have we become debrief?
Have we settled on this name, Katie?
Look at Daniel's face.
What? I'm just excited, Katie.
We've been debating
between a few names.
Yeah. 근데 내 목소리가 들려? 나는 이거 마이크 귀로 안 들리네.
You can't hear yourself?
No.
We're already facing technical difficulties.
Hello?
Can you hear yourself?
어? 어? 여보세요? 안 들려.
My podcasting with the grandma. All right, 1 second.
아, 이제 들려. Yeah, now I can hear myself.
Now you can hear it.
So, hello guys. Welcome to Let's Debrief.
You changed the title already. In case you never find this podcast due to shifting names, just know we do exist. So how is everybody doing in this corona crazy times? Things are getting back to normal in Korea. Mm-hmm. Katie, you're going back to work for the first time.
Yeah, it's been like 3 months. First time in three months going back to my office tomorrow. I feel a bit nervous.
Why? Because you have to wake up past 10:30?
Yeah, I feel nervous about waking up earlier than usual and getting through the bus or the subway and through people and finally sitting down in my office.
Yeah. Katie is the ultimate sleeper. You know, I think that's why you're so healthy.
Excuse me.
Yeah, there's a book called Why We Sleep. I've been reading it. And they talk about sleep as the ultimate panacea. Actually, Katie, pronounce the word.
Panacea.
You used to call it panacea. Why all of a sudden we turn on the mics and then you turn to your formal? You should speak the terminology that you always speak with me.
No, Katie, this is my terminology now.
Katie has a wonderful habit of mispronouncing like one syllable in every word. So I think it's going to pop out from time to time during this podcast.
Yeah.
So try to understand the spirit of what she's saying. Exactly. If you try to go with...
You know what I mean.
Exactly. Word up. Word up.
Yeah, but you know your dad tackled you on why you read that book.
Oh, that's so funny. When my dad was in Korea, I was like, Dad, this book is so interesting. I was like, you know, there's a reason why we sleep. There's so much health benefits. My dad's like, why are you reading that book? It's simple. We sleep because we sleep. Such a Korean style. And after he said that.
It makes you look dumb.
Yeah, it was a conversation ender. I was like, okay, well, yeah, I guess that's the reason why we sleep.
Yeah. Why are you thinking so complicated, Daniel?
You know, the other day I was watching the news and I wanted to extend a shout out to all of the new graduates. You know, this year you guys got hit with the corona and weren't able to celebrate with your friends and families as you should. We want to send a special shout out to you from Seoul because to all the graduates, things are crazy right now. And to make you feel better, we're going to share a few interview stories and how we started off.
Because we thought that we were coming out the worst time.
That's right. I graduated in 2010.
Okay, so now you're revealing your age now, Daniel. Are you okay?
It's all right. No worries. No worries. That's 2 years after the financial crisis. Mm-hmm. And so... all the companies were not hiring. I had majored in finance, and I was so gung-ho in getting an internship in an investment bank. And what happened?
What happened?
Well, actually, I should talk about the fact that I had to come back to Korea, right? And things in life, never in life do they actually turn out exactly how you plan. Those few times when they do, you should pop some makgeolli or some soju and celebrate. But the rest of your life, most of the times, you're going to take like a few detours, ups and downs.
Yeah, and it's just problems after problems.
Yeah. for me, actually, before I tell you about like where I ended up, I want to tell you about some of our failed interviews, because this is always fun to think about now, like, you know, like a decade after.
Yeah, because you and I, we were both like struggling to get a job, and it was more important because we had to get the sponsorship from those companies.
That's right.
To stay in the UK and US.
Yeah, when I was in the US, it was my last year before I had to come back to Korea. Like, after I graduated, I no longer had legal status to be in the US. Even though I had spent like 15 to 17 years in the US, I was on a student visa, right? I had changed. Mm-hmm. And now I was on a student, and it was my last year. And so there was an enormous amount of pressure on me to land what we call H-1B visa, which is a work visa.
Mm-hmm.
And so my career advisor said, Daniel, you have to stick out from your peers. And he would always say this to me every time we had a meeting. So we devised a little strategy. I wasn't getting any interviews. And I was thinking that that's because, you know, I wasn't a U.S. citizen. So I checked the label for future applications that I was a U.S. citizen. And I finally landed one.
Well, that's very dangerous.
Yeah, I know. But I was...
By the way, you're not supposed to do that.
Yes, thank you, cop Katie. So interview came, and I prepped all night. And, you know, when I was a student, I was so naive. I didn't understand that, you know, interview, as long as you just check off the boxes and, you know, you make a good impression, you'll make it to the second round for the most part.
Yeah.
And so I still remember what my career advisor was saying. It's like, make a great impression, stick out. So at the time, I was kind of DJing at school, right?
Guys, did you guys know that Daniel used to DJ? I still don't believe him to this day.
Why?
Because that's too cool.
I'm not cool enough. You know, when I was in Korea.
Prove it, Daniel.
No, it's funny because in Korea, all the Asian girls, like, they're like, look at me, and you're never a DJ. Not with that face. And it's always that kind of response. Apparently, you have to, like, be hip-hop, or you have to be whatever your hobby is. You have to dress the part.
So you need to be a little bit more hipster and, you know, look a little bit more stylish.
I could be all of those. Just kidding. Check it out. So the interview day came, and the interviewer asked the most basic question, which was, please tell me about yourself.
Please tell me about yourself.
All right, we're going to do a little bit of role playing?
Yes.
Okay, start.
Hello? Why?
You sound confused. Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Is that Daniel?
Okay, the interviewer wouldn't say, is that Daniel? We're not on the phone. This is a face-to-face. Come on.
Oh!
Come on, let's switch it up.
Oh, okay. I thought this was a phone interview.
Okay, hello.
Oh, hi. Come sit down.
Thank you. Thank you.
Make yourself at home.
Okay, thank you. Ask me the question.
So, Daniel, introduce yourself.
You might be wondering why people call me DJ Klein. That was my opening line.
That's so random.
That was my opening line to my first like career interview. Needless to say, her head kind of twerked, like, you know, like a little pigeon, like a little chicken. It moved to the side. And she's like, ooh, DJ Klein, do you do weddings? And so all of the follow-up questions were related to like music. And I was like, oh my God, this is a fail. This is a fail. This is not going good. Because, it was a finance interview. And she was asking me if I was DJing weddings.
What company was it for?
I think it was Accenture.
Oh.
Yeah.
Totally unrelated to music.
Yeah, needless to say, it didn't work out.
Oh. That was your first interview?
First interview.
Okay.
How about you, Katie?
I think my first interview is like the worst, because Yeah, similar to Daniel, I studied finance and I wanted to get into these big banks in London.
I know what it is, guys. It rhymes with Goldman Sachs.
Yes. So my third year, I think, I got my first interview and it was Goldman Sachs. And that was like my dream company at the time. So I was super excited, so pumped up. And I went into the interview. But as soon as I went in, I just felt so nervous and I couldn't get over that feeling. And but
it's nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
Interviews are nerve-wracking when you're not, haven't done a lot of them.
Mm.
Such a like high-pressurized, turn a kernel into a popcorn.
Exactly. I mean, it's hard to understand why I would feel that nervous now. But at that time, my like this little me was like so insecure, nervous. And there were these two guys sitting who they were the interviewers, and it was round table, but they were trying their best to make me feel comfortable, but it didn't help. And halfway through, I ended up crying.
Oh no. Those big crocodile tears.
Yeah, and then
down.
I remember I kind of thought of my mom at that time too, and I felt emotional. And
why? What about your mom?
I don't know. I just felt like, oh, I want it so bad, and I want to make my mom proud. And yeah, all those thoughts passed by at one point and
did it all crash by with, hi, can you tell me about yourself? And then like this flashes of your mom and all the sacrifice she made so you could study.
Yeah, like he asked me, I think it was like, why do you want to work here? And I think like, yeah, it was like a mixture of everything.
So
and
we're very similar. We both failed at the first question about please tell me yourself. It was like an emotional
It's hard
splurge.
To think at this point, but it's such a simple question and it's a question that you should be 100% prepared for, but I don't know, everything was so not structured at that time.
Yeah, it's very tough.
Yeah, but did you get better on your second interview?
Of course, yeah, I didn't. Yeah, the DJ client thing went out the window. I told my career advisor, he was like, I was like, you told me to tell people I was special, and I told him about DJ Climb, and he's like, what are you talking about? yeah, I actually want to tell people about this. Yeah, for another firm I applied to, it was like, I think it might have been the fourth round, and it was for a wealth management firm, and it required me to go get signatures from a target list of people in Chicago. It was basically to see if you would, you know, be sociable and want to do this for a living. So it was like, it was one of the coldest days in Chicago, I remember. Like the car that I, you know, borrowed from my friend, it was a little putt-putt car. It was like, that's the sound of the engine. Nice. You can make that sound too, Katie. I'm proud of you. I went into Chicago. Car broke down at least once on the way, and the assignment was for me to go get 50 signatures from the target list. And so I went
within
around.
How many hours?
It was within one day.
Oh
yeah, that was the assignment. Yeah, so
that's pretty tough.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it was 50 or 40. It doesn't matter though. I think it was around there.
Definitely a high goal, right?
Exactly. So I went into the I think among all the houses, I remember I knocked on one house and a grandma, like she was an octogenarian. Katie, you know what that word is?
Where? Oh, why are you trying to test me? Let's move on with your story.
What is an octogenarian?
Hmm?
What's an octogenarian?
What is it?
I'm asking you. Okay, that's your defense strategy right there. So I met this 80-year-old, or she had to be around there, and she was like, hello. I was like, hi, my name is Daniel. That's like
your young voice,
my friendly voice to strangers. She's like, Daniel, come on in. Would you like some tea? I'm sorry, this is a grandma. Would you like some tea? So I sat down on the sofa, and she made me feel really relaxed. And you know, she was offering me biscuits, and had tea and biscuits. Meanwhile, in the back of my mind, I was like, "Grandma, can you just give me a signature so I can move on?" Right? Just so like dead, like locked on to my goal, right? Mm-hmm. But then things got kind of funky. She was like, she knew what I wanted, but okay. she didn't want to give it to me.
Okay.
Right? So she was like, young man, would you like to come up with me upstairs? And I was like, ooh?
That's scary.
Yeah, she's like, I want to show you something. So I went up with, I went up the stairs with her.
Okay.
Right? And she opened a door. And guess what I saw, Katie?
What?
Rows and rows of ceramic hand-painted dolls.
Oh my gosh, that's so spooky.
You know, sometimes these Hollywood stories, they all have an inkling of truth. This is one of those cases. I was so shocked because all of these porcelain dolls, they were all cleaned. It's not like those raggedy, like put in a pile, like needs to clean. They were in cases. So apparently, I think.
What does she do?
I think she makes them or cleans them for a hobby.
Oh.
And I was like the first person to visit her in a very long while. Like her, she, like, you know, those her sons didn't come visit her. So I was like company for her and she wanted to share all the things that she's been doing. Mm-hmm. Right. And so I'm getting really creeped out. Right.
Yeah.
And yeah, she just kind of introduced me to Sally. To Brenda, to no, I'm sure there was no Brenda. That's the doll's name. Yeah, just all these dolls, and
so she was just feeling lonely and wanted to share these things.
Yeah,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. So we went back down. She's like, you know, I know you wanted a signature from the beginning, but I just wanted you to come see my dolls because they really meant a lot to me, right? Aww. So I got the signatures. Or I mean, I got her signature that it was okay for them to contact her, blah, 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 blah. And yeah, so it was a kind of one of those like strange experiences that still remains for me from these interview days. But then.
Did you end up getting all the 50?
Oh, but it took me 2 days.
Oh, but the requirement was within 1 day.
Yeah, that's right. So I went back to the interviewer. And first thing was like, hey, Daniel, how was it? And I was like, it was easy, you know, no problem, easy peasy. And then the first thing he asked me was, so how long did it take you?
Mm. And what did you say?
And, oh, you know, like that, your ego and just,
yeah.
I wanted to say, oh, 1 day, like you said. But what I said was, you know, I couldn't finish it in 1 day. It actually took me 2 days. So, sorry about that, you know. And he was like, immediately, you passed.
Oh.
Katie, keep your hands off these things. Sorry, guys. We still have, like, these stock sound effects. I think you want to click this one.
Yes. Well done. Thank you. But that is, like, he was testing you.
The test was, what he said was, integrity. He wanted to make sure that, you know, that I had integrity.
Mm.
And so they failed the people who came back and said that they finished in 24 hours because even their best guy couldn't do it in 24 hours.
That's so interesting.
Yeah. So advice to people who are starting off their careers, even if you're not going to be the best performer, have integrity and build real like and people in the industry always want to build relationships with people that are high integrity. That goes a very long way.
That's a good message.
Yeah, just remember that.
And you ended up getting that job?
Yeah, I did.
You did?
I did.
So why are you here?
That's phase three of what happened.
Why are you not working in New York?
Yeah, basically. The company, after I got the job, I had to tell them that I was not a U.S. citizen.
Mm. Oh. So that broke your integrity.
Oh, yeah. I was like on a whole high pedestal about being high integrity. Meanwhile, the whole basis was me. That's hilarious. Yeah. Thank you for bringing me back to the ground. You keep me rooted. That's hilarious. Yeah. I got the job offer, and then I had to tell them. And long story short, they blacklisted me.
Oh my gosh.
Said I wasted their resources.
So they were really upset.
They were
about
pissed
it.
Because I had wasted a recruiting cycle. Mm. It was done, and I was picked my school, but I wasn't eligible for hire. So, the reason I tell you this is because, especially for those graduates who are graduating now, like sometimes you get so laser focused in what you think you need to have now, but life oftentimes will bring you in circles, will go make you go up and down. For me, went up and down, riding cars like that, and it's okay, it's okay. You know, I ended up sitting on my helmet in Korea in the army.
Oh yes.
While my friends were working in Wall Street, and I felt like. That's what drove me crazy when I was in the army. Like a lot of kids think the army was tough. For me, I was so ambitious. I mean, I just saw the army as like just an experience. So that didn't really bother me. Though there were really like hard parts about it too. Mm-hmm. But the fact that it felt like the whole world was moving on.
And you're just
and I was
like
stuck due to what I was born into. Like that, these are things I can't control, right? Yeah. Corona, these are things that we can't control. And sometimes it feels like, why am I out of a job? Why is this person's job? Like, why is this person still in business? Why am I? Why am I? Why am I? But if you think about the long run and the perspective, what is the big goal? Mm. Like a lot of my friends who had those big time jobs, they ended up quitting after a year or 2 years.
Yeah, because it was too tough or
it was not a good match. It was not a good match. And it was the same thing for me. I worked so hard. Then to get a job in finance after the army. And then I moved to consulting, which was kind of adjacent. But and then from consulting now towards YouTube, people think I'm crazy. My parents still think I'm crazy. Oh, my God. I should still tell them. My parents, when I told them about this vision of that, you know, I'm going to have, you know, I want to kind of teach people on the internet how to... how to cook Korean food. My mom just looked at me and she's like, you should pay that. What do you want?
Your mom was so sad.
My mom was so sad. And then I hit them with the double whammy that I'm going to sell doenjang jjigae on the internet through gochujang. Sell doenjang on the internet. And my mom and dad were like, do you know how much we struggled in the US and you want to go back to Korea and sell doenjang?
You know, your mom is like, I'm even too embarrassed to tell my friends about it.
What did I tell my mom?
Because that's
tell
the
them I also sell
thing.
Gochujang if they want. But it's the big picture, you know?
Yeah,
I think your parents and they only see like what's, I mean, they only see from their perspective, their own lens. Right. And I see where e-commerce is going. I see what the future of marketing, what the future of broadcast is because I'm living it. Right. So,
yeah. And you see where the needs are firsthand.
Yeah.
Because people can't get access to all these products in their local market or local area.
Yeah.
And, you know, we get a lot of DMs asking where to get it, all these questions.
You know what? By the way, one of the things that has made us so happy during this, coronavirus has been seeing pictures of people cook Korean food from around the world.
Yeah, it spiked during this period. Yeah,
it spiked and it's amazing. You know, one thing, we actually got pictures from Africa that were making kimchi jjigae and sundubu jjigae. Oh my God, I was like, manse, which means victory. Yeah. My mission is complete.
Exactly.
But the funny thing is, which I never tell people is, from Africa, they substitute almost all of the ingredients. So it looks nothing like it, but I love the energy and the attempt.
Yeah. That's so amazing though.
Yeah. Or sometimes we get pictures from India too, and they're like, look, I made kimchi. I look at it, I'm like, what is that? That's not kimchi. But it is kimchi. Because if they make it and they think it's kimchi, that's kimchi.
Yeah, and they localized it with their local ingredients.
It's beautiful. Mm. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Oh.
Katie.
Yes.
How do you like it so far? Being on the mic. It's a little bit different from YouTube, huh?
Yeah. I'm still not familiar with all these machines in front of me. And this mic. This humongous mic.
Yeah. What do you...
You have more like crazy interview stories yet to share.
I've told you a lot of them, huh?
No, yeah, but I think the most remarkable one is the one where you said you were holding your peace for so much sitting next to this interviewer. First, you got late to the interview, oh, yeah. And then you were sitting right next to this like very top management person, oh, and you yeah. wanted to go to the bathroom so badly.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah, you have all the details.
All right, I'll share another one. Guys, I have so many. I failed so many interviews that like now I think I'm quite good at them, but so much pain. Let me share you another painful story. So when I knew I was going to go back to Korea for the army, I knew that I wanted to interview at least for a position so that I could get like an internship or something before I actually enter the army.
Yeah.
And so there's a group called Hanwha. Hanwha is a conglomerate. It's a huge conglomerate in Korea. And I think their vice president had come overseas to Chicago or near Chicago. And I was invited to go meet with him along with a select few other people from our school. Mm-hmm. So again, I had to borrow my friend's car, that little putt-putt. It was in the middle of Chicago winter again. And I'm driving through. And I don't know, for some reason, I missed the toll gate and I got stuck in traffic. And I had gone literally like maybe an hour and a half before I was supposed to arrive. But then, you know, when you arrive too early, so there's nothing to do. Mm-hmm. So I thought I would just go like, you know, across to like a cafe or something.
Yeah.
But I missed the on-ramp and I got stuck in traffic and it was like, I couldn't get back. So I ended up being 20 minutes late.
Wow.
Everyone was seated down.
That's like never happening in an interview, right? Being late to an interview.
I know, it doesn't even make sense. But it was a group interview.
Oh.
Right? It wasn't like a one-on-one interview. It was a group interview. So you're supposed to make the best impression, right? So
it's a competition.
It's a competition. I'm 20 minutes late. It's 15 minutes late for a fashionable entrance. So when I arrived, I also had to pee so bad because I was anxious and I wasn't able to use the restroom before I left the cafe.
Okay.
So I had to pee so bad. So by the time I parked and I opened the door, and then the lady, the vice president helper, is like, "Where were you? They were waiting for you. You need to go sit now." And I was like, "I'm gonna go use the restroom." And they're like, "Ande, ande, 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 ande," which means in Korean, "No, no, 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 no." And they sat me next down to him, and it was like being filmed. I think for like marketing or something.
Oh my gosh!
So, you know when you have to pee so bad that you can feel it pulsate, ring, 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 ring.
And you can't even go out.
I can't go out. So it's ringing, ring, ring, ring in my head. And then we started to eat. And the guy was presenting about finance or something like that. And I was also very hungry. But the cutlery was arranged so strange. Like, you know those fancy restaurants?
Yeah.
Like, why can't it just be like positioned left and right and you're right in the middle? For me, it was like positioned slightly to this left of me.
Oh, okay.
So his cutlery was like right in front of me, but that was his. I didn't know.
So you started eating with his cutlery.
So he's speaking, he's presenting. I'm like, "Ooh, nice bread. Oh, I gotta pee. Ooh, oh, the butter's even good here. Oh, I gotta pee." This is going on in my mind and I'm eating, right? Because I'm late and I want to catch up.
Yeah.
And so then he comes down, he finishes eating, or he finishes speaking. He's ready to eat. And he's like, where's my cutlery? And here's me with two sets of forks, spoons. I was like, oh no.
Just enjoying the food.
The first thing I said to him was, you want this one? I have to use this one. And he looked at me, he's like, no, I think you can use both. So I was like, oh no.
And this is coming from the guy who came last.
Yeah. And then you know, before the main entree came and he started to speak to everyone, I excused myself. Because I was going to pee in my pants.
You were the worst impression.
I know. Went to go pee. And maybe this is TMI, but I started getting an anxiety attack. Because I was like, man, this is my last chance to nail something before I had to go to the army, like, you know, to get my career started. And so, like, I need to get back out there, right? So I'm busy thinking, and I pulled up my zipper before I was finished.
Oh, my gosh, Daniel.
And it was not even a black suit. It was a gray suit.
Oh, my gosh.
So I had little tricklets running. I had a little, like.
Ah, don't want to hear it.
I had a little trail running down the right side of my pant leg. Oh my, I looked in the mirror and I was like, this cannot be happening. Am I the biggest dork ever?
You already failed the interview, Daniel.
So then I pressed the hair dryer.
Oh my God.
Or what am I talking about? The hand dryer. And back then, it wasn't those sweet, like, you know, like infrared ones we have in Korea now. No, it's the... And everyone is hearing it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So I came down with a little pee trail, and I'm sure they saw it. I mean, it was a gray suit, like an off gray. And I sat down, and I was like, you know what? This is screwed. Let's just go to the army.
That was the last impression Lou left.
Yeah.
Before you went to the army.
Yeah, before I took a flight to Korea. So students, if you're listening out there and you botched, you know, your interview that you wanted so bad, remember me, DJ Klein, the guy with the pee trail on his gray suit. You know, you mentioned Goldman Sachs, right?
Yeah.
I also applied to Goldman Sachs.
You did?
Yeah. Did I tell you about this?
No, I don't think so.
This was my junior year, and I was so gung-ho. I was like, oh, I'm going to be the one from my school that gets chosen. And I spent like 6 months like perfecting the best cover letter.
Oh.
Ooh, you know, cover letter, so important.
Yeah,
so
they are.
So naive. They don't look at that, my ass.
They're important, isn't it?
They don't look at that. Come on. Oh. And so I finished the cover letter. And I was applying to all to other banks at the same time. So I finished one for JP Morgan. Oh, I was like, oh, this is amazing. And then my friend was like, yo, you know Goldman Sachs? Yo, that thing is finishing, or the application is due by like 7 tonight. I was like, what? I thought it was next week. So I'm going to get another like anxiety-induced attack. And I was like, oh, I better send this in now. And at the last moment when you're in their like system and you attach cover letter.
Yeah.
I attached JP Morgan's.
Great job.
Exactly.
No, but I think this is kind of a mistake that a lot of us go through at least once.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I did that too, because I had so many companies that I applied that even though I tried my best to like, you know, make it clear and organize my folders. I'm sure there was like one or two that I made mistakes on.
Yeah. So if you're like, let's say you are an art student, for example, and you weren't able to get that sweet job that you thought you would get, and you end up, let's say, working at a restaurant or something, right? Like, don't be too bummed about it, because a lot of these experiences that you have along the way, they come back to you. So for example, let's say you're at the restaurant and you kind of like the ambiance of that restaurant. That ambiance could translate into like influences for another art piece the future. Maybe it's called the restaurant. I don't know.
But you know, I actually have a friend who's actually doing that.
What?
I have a friend who went to do art at uni, and she's like running like a very successful food business in London.
And so her kind of trajectory after what she majored was completely different.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So don't be too bummed. Don't be too bummed. Like, you know, for me too, like the thing that I wanted the most after I got it, like after I started working in finance, I realized this is not it for sure. I left after like less than a year. It's not what I wanted. So, but you never have that perspective in college.
Yeah.
That's what I feel is missing in college, is that like the universities will pump out what is a successful job, or, you know, for us in finance at the time, it was investment banking, or like working at investment bank, maybe sales and trading, whatever it was. That was the gold standard. Everything else below that kind of was like a failure.
Yeah.
Like that was what was
very narrow minded.
Very narrow minded. And like when you're a student, you never know what the job entails.
That's so true.
Like when I talk with some of my friends who've become dentists, they don't know that that comes with like $300,000 in debt. With all the student loans. That. So I wish they, you know, get some more context for what it is.
And you switched from finance to YouTube too. Was that expected?
No, I went from consulting to YouTube.
Yeah, so that's something that was totally not expected of you as a, you know, 20-year-old, right?
Yeah, people said I was crazy. Yeah. But I know what I wanted to do. Yeah, I don't want to go too far into this subject. I think we'll save it for next time on the career stuff for sure.
Yeah. Do you remember your graduation?
No.
No?
No. I don't know if I should drop this one. This is the time when I was...
Well, your parents were there. I know what he's going to say, but let's leave that juicy part for later.
Yeah, it was the craziest part of my life. Yeah. Yeah.
But your parents came all the way from California.
Yeah.
And your mom had high expectations.
Ah, that's right. Yeah.
Of you.
So funny.
It's very typical, like, Korean family parents, like, expecting their child to be the best in school.
Yeah, yeah.
Were you?
No, my parents, they would always go, Daniel, why are you always doing the chicka, 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 chicka?
They were so unhappy, right?
They're like, 그 chicka, chicka 해서 돈 벌어? Which means you're going to make money with that? Just study. And I was like, no, but I want a chicka, chicka, chicka.
This was at uni.
Yeah. And then, you know, during graduation, they give out those awards, like cum laude, magna cum laude, summa cum laude, right after your name when you walk. Strangely enough, like the five people before me, it was like Sarah Parker, cum laude, Jessica,
Alba.
Magna cum laude, Katie Parker, summa cum laude, Daniel O, James Werner. Just went by.
Oh.
Just went by, nothing. And my mom, she came up to me and she's like, ah, 그 cum laude 그거 뭐야? Just means like, what is cum laude? And I was like, Mom, I mean, that's just something very artificial. She's like, artificial my booty. She's like, I'm going to figure out what that is. She asked another Korean lady. She's like, oh. And then, the other Korean ajumma. Ah, 제일 공부 잘하는 사람들만 받는 거예요. My mom right there, she got triggered. And then literally the whole time she's like, I flew out all the way to Chicago from California. I don't even hear a cum laude, not a cum laude가 뭐야? 아이고, magna cum laude 그것도 없고. 아이고. Just in a short way, just is a Korean mom's ranting of, yeah, he's just.
And how long did you have to hear that for?
I still hear
That's
it.
That's important.
I still hear it. You wouldn't be on YouTube if you just got the cum laude.
Yeah, our parents have very high expectation of us, right?
Yeah. Actually, when I moved back to Korea, I started to... It was a very interesting kind of experience because when I was living in the States, I never saw the... What do I say? I never saw my parents in context with the rest of their lives or how they grew up. I only saw my parents as my parents.
Mm-hmm.
But as I came back to Korea, I got to meet some of their friends. I got to meet my extended family for the first time. So it humanized them, which was mm-hmm. very important for me. And when you're a kid, you just think like your parents are, like when you're really young, you think they're invincible.
Yeah.
And number two, you think they're like just parents. They know what's right. And in some ways that you're quick to attack them when they're wrong because you think they should be right all the time. You know what I mean? Like, if you expect someone to have the answers all the time, and as soon as you find something is wrong, you go attack them because you think they're right all the time.
Yeah.
But then when I was in Korea, I started to understand how my parents grew up, and I was able to just understand them and grow patience.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Seeing them in context, you know.
But for me, I think my mom was actually vice versa. From a very mm-hmm. young age, she exposed her weakness. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and she wanted me to like understand her pains and difficulties.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's pros and cons to this because the pro is that we are very, very close. We're like the best friend.
Yeah, Katie has an amazing relationship with
with
her mom, especially.
My mom and I, we are just, we know, we just feel so close. But the cons is that I know so much of her pains and so much of her difficulties that it pains me to know them sometimes.
You'd rather not know them.
It's weird to say. It's weird to say that, but yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of things that you don't know about your mom's like pains or you know, dark side.
Yeah.
But I'm sure I don't understand my mom 100%, but mm. I feel pretty confident that I know her like almost 80% or higher. And yeah, I think that much connection also brings that much sadness sometimes.
Yeah.
Because you know so much about all the difficulties or because she's also a human, you know?
Yeah.
Mm. I don't know what's best though, to have that distance and and kind of the distance also means that you look up to them kind of in a different way.
You mean like if you have the parent, if you have the more traditional parent to child relationship,
yeah,
then it's just, they're just the parent and you keep them at a distance and, you know, you respect them, but it's not like a almost peer-to-peer kind of dialogue, right?
Mm, exactly.
Yeah. For me, like, you know how Korean families, most of the times, the mom and the parents are very close.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the mom and children are very close. For my family, it's my dad and me and my sister are very close with my dad.
Mm.
My dad is a conversationalist. So
that's not very common,
yeah.
At least amongst my friends.
Yeah, yeah. So my dad, like I grew up in the States when I was growing up, my dad didn't have many friends.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was immigrant.
Mm-hmm.
And so he used to talk to me all the time about things that were way beyond my age. So for example, when he was like thinking about buying real estate for the first time, I was in like junior high. He was like, what do you think? Do these calculations work? You think it makes sense? You think it'd be a good investment? What do you think the ROI would be? So because he didn't have anyone to confide in, he would confide into me about all these business related things, not that much personally sometimes, But that made me kind of grow up very quickly and kind of develop a very strong relationship with my dad as well. But, you know, it's...
That's so great to see, though, because you get along so well with your dad.
But our personalities are so similar, it's so tough, right?
And you fight a lot, too.
Oh, yeah. I had the option to either stay in the U.S. and get sponsored underneath my dad's company, but we both looked at each other and said, no, go to Korea. Find your own way. My dad has, like, very strong principles. It's like, when you go to Korea, zero support. My dad has always told me, as soon as I graduate college, no support. You're done. You need to go grab your own wings and fly.
Mm.
So I remember my mom and dad got a huge fight because when I came to Korea,
yeah,
I, you know, like basically zero money, didn't hook me up with like any, like introducing me to go stay at my, like my relative's place. No. When I came to Korea, I had my bags. Couldn't speak Korean that well. I ended up in Sinchon, which is where we met, right?
Yeah.
But with my broken Korean, I ended up, oh, this is a good story. I went into the back alley. I was like, oh, I got to save money. So I saw a place where I could get a night for 3만 원, which is around like $30. I was like, oh, this is pretty cheap.
This is your first time in
Korea?
Yeah,
first night.
Oh.
And it's kind of, I don't know, it wasn't that nice. I put my, you know, bags up into the room. And then I didn't think much of it. Went to go, you know, grab the burger, whatever. Nighttime, came back in. Turned on the light. It was 빨간 light. It was a red light.
What?
The whole room turned red.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was like, oh, no. I booked a room in a love motel.
Oh my gosh.
And then there was this little button near the the bed, and it just shook the whole bed.
And oh my like, gosh, really?
Yeah.
That's so crazy.
And I started laughing at myself, and I was like, man, I feel so proud of having negotiated down rates. You know, I got it from like maybe 30,000 to maybe 25,000.
We have to go back to the hotel and see if it's still alive.
Katie.
No, I just want... No!
Katie.
No,
Katie. Keep it PG-13.
No, I don't mean it that way. I just never saw that kind of hotel in Sinchon.
There's tons back there, Katie. There's
But why Sinchon? How did you end up in Sinchon, though?
Sinchon is the college town. They have Yonsei University over there. They have like five universities. So just wanted to go where there was a lot of young people.
Mm.
Yeah. You know, in my life, it seems like things never come easy.
Mm.
Yeah, that's a thing in my life. If I think about it now, all the stuff that comes like that I really want,
yeah,
it never comes easy. I have to go through like one, two, or three hardships, but I end up getting it.
Mm.
For example, going to college. I had to get a scholarship before going to college. I'm sorry. Yeah. I had to, since I was not a U.S. citizen, I couldn't pay for it. I had to pay international rates. So once I got into my college, I still needed to get approval for a scholarship.
Yeah.
And that's
really difficult, right? For difficult. Internationals.
Very difficult. But ended up getting it.
This is the time for it.
Yeah. It was the first international student at my university to get a scholarship. They don't give it out to international students. So
how did you end up getting it? What steps did you take?
I called the admissions office, told them that this was my dream school, and I was very persistent. And I met some good people along the way that helped me, that heard my case.
Mm.
And I guess what I am trying to tell is that you got to be like persistent.
Yeah.
And you have to have kind of grit. if you really want something. And I feel like there's a lot of people these days that as soon as things get tough, they kind of give up. And I see that.
Yeah, I mean, looking at you, you're such a hustler and you just make it work, whatever it takes, right?
Yeah, oh my gosh, we should talk about the studio where we started our future neighbor.
Oh, so small and tiny. Like, okay, guys, we recently moved to a bigger house, and it's only been, I think, 2 or 3 months, but like, I just can't imagine that I was living in that small, tiny studio.
So in Korea, they call it office-tel. It's like, think about it as a one-person studio. In the U.S., maybe think about it as the size of your living room. And in there, there's a kitchen. There's
bathroom, your closet.
So it's tiny. It's like micro spaces.
Yeah. And there's, it's not even worthy of a room tour because everything you saw is basically everything.
Yeah. And what did I say? I was like, we're going to make this work. Yeah. So every time we would cook something spicy, we would die for like days, right?
Yeah.
Because the chili peppers would stick onto the walls and like that smell wouldn't go away. And then when I started gochujang, I made a mistake because I wanted to get like custom boxes that could survive international packaging. And I had bought 3,000 of those large boxes.
Yeah.
And where did I store it? I stored it in the office tel.
So you had to like, you couldn't sleep on your bed, right?
I couldn't
get it. You had to sleep on the floor because there was no space.
That's right. I slept on the floor for 2 years, maybe more. 2 or 3 years.
Wow. And every, that's a crazy story.
Because I couldn't get a warehouse. We like 3,000 boxes is not enough to pay for an entire warehouse in Korea. Or I'm sorry, in Seoul. And every day I saw one of those boxes disappear. And I started to see my wall again. It was like a good motivating like factor. Right? Now we have like a warehouse where we store and now it's good, but you know, if I think about anything, if you really want it, you can make it happen. You can make it happen. Literally, you can make it happen. Like this podcast right now, we don't even know what this does. Gia. We're playing around with it, but we want to make it happen. We want to share. We have a lot of stories. Like,
yeah, you have a lot of crazy kunde stories, growing up stories.
And all of those like gigs from consulting, working in different countries and all the craziness that happened in like Middle East.
Yeah, and you almost died in an airplane.
Oh man, I've got to get to those. Oh. But we got to limit it. I could talk for hours. Let this thing just run for like 5-6 hours. Just fill everything.
Yeah.
But I think we'll wrap it up here for our inaugural one because I want to focus it towards the interviews, graduating. Hey, again, to all of the students who have graduated into year 2020, we send much love to you from Seoul.
Yeah, shout out to you guys.
Shout outs to you. You guys are going to rock it. You don't need no ceremony, graduation ceremony.
Everyone will remember 2020, right?
Yeah.
From now on.
Yeah.
Everyone will remember. This is going to be the most unforgettable year.
So unforgettable. But you don't need a graduation ceremony. Just take a few nice Instagram pictures. And actually, you didn't have a graduation ceremony, right?
Yeah, actually, I didn't. So I don't even know how graduation is like.
No, you skipped yours because you had to come right back to Korea.
Yeah, I got a job and I had to start my training. So
has this grown into a complex that you weren't able to have a graduation ceremony? A sore?
Not at all.
Right? You don't even care,
it had,
right?
Yeah, zero impact in my
life. That's what I mean. If you get perspective, like when you're young, we don't have perspective, right? So you guys are going to be all right. Let's fight through this. Stay safe, guys. We're going to be podcasting more and more. This was Katie. How did you like it? Is this fun?
Yeah, it just felt really natural. Did you feel comfortable?
Katie. Tossing back questions.
뭐야?
I feel very comfortable. I like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and if you guys have some stories that you want us to talk about or any comments, please let us know.
Yeah, my kind of vision for this, or our vision for this, is that we want to make this interactive. So if you're having a hard time and you want other people's, like our community's, like input on it, like let us know through email. We won't share the names or the you know, the details, but we'll just throw it out there on the airwaves and see what other people think. We'll chime in our opinions and let's make this interactive.
Yeah, that'll be good.
Yeah, because there's no other place that's, you know what, actually, I'll cut it right here. Adios. Bye-bye.
안녕.
안녕.
See you again.
Bye-bye.